Good morning. It's great to see everyone who's here. We have a number of people who are visiting with us, coming in for the holidays or maybe just traveling through the city. But whatever the case or the reason for your presence, we are thankful that you've come to be with us. If you want to open up your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Where do you go to find answers? We live in the age of technology, and it is amazing. If you have a question about something, all you have to do is put it into Google or Bing, and within seconds, the answer, the information is right in front of you. How fast can an eagle fly? If you're wondering, it's 75 to 100 miles per hour. But it's incredible. All of this information that is available to us. You can find an article, a podcast, a book on just about any topic. And it's not just facts and figures. It could be something that is more serious in nature. How should I live my life? What type of habits do I need to develop in order to be successful? And there's a whole genre that talks about these types of things. They're called self-help books or podcasts. And you can learn about things like the 5 love languages or the 7 habits of highly effective people. Or if you want to know more about how to win friends and influence people, then there's a book for that too. But with thousands of books and millions of posts and videos and so much advice that's out there about how to handle our health and our relationships and our emotions, where do we find the answers? How do we know which path we should walk? Is there anything that can provide true wisdom? And that's what I'd like for us to think about this morning, seeking after wisdom. Of course, there are a lot of great things that have been written, helpful things that have been published by authors and by writers. But the ultimate source of wisdom and knowledge comes from God's word. So I'd like to look in Proverbs chapter 1, beginning in verse 20. Read with me. Proverbs 1 and verse 20, it says, "Wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the markets, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing, and fools hate knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refused to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded. Because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you, when terror strikes you like a storm, and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despised all my reproof. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster." The Bible is the greatest book that has ever been written. It is the number one seller. It's estimated that there are about 6 billion Bibles that are in print in the world today. The Bible has been translated, or parts of the Bible have been translated, into nearly 3,000 languages. If you look up the next closest literary work, it's somewhere around 500 languages. So it is widely available across every country and continent in the world. The Bible is not just a single book, but rather a collection of books, 66 in all. And it's not the same type of writing, but there are different genres or styles of writing within the scriptures. You have law, you have history, you have poetry, you have songs, and as we just read in the book of Proverbs, we have wisdom literature. Wisdom or Proverbs provide insight into the realities of the human experience. It gives us guidance for how we should walk or live in this world. Look at what verse 20 says. In verse 20, it says, "Wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the markets, she raises her voice." Wisdom here is personified as a woman who is crying out. And she's not in the corner of a room or in a quiet or in a secluded place, but rather she finds herself in the most busy in the busiest atmosphere. She is standing out in the market, which highlights our first point, which is that we live in a noisy world. We live in a noisy, crowded world. In our house, we know about noise. It usually happens when the kids get home from school. One of them wants to tell you about something that happened with one of their friends. And another needs some help on homework. And another wants to tell you what they ate for lunch while someone else is asking for a snack. And they're doing all of this at the same time. And that's what it can feel like sometimes living in this world. There are so many voices. There's so many thoughts and opinions and ideas about how we should be living, what's best for us, which direction we should be going. You can hardly have time to hear yourself think. It's like standing in a crowded marketplace while everyone is speaking at the same time. I read recently that advertising, it is estimated that in a single day, we are exposed to over 4,000 advertisements. Ads on social media, billboards as you drive down the street, commercials that you hear on TV or the radio, things that you see in the shopping center as you're passing by. And all of that is designed to try to grab or get our attention. They're attempting to sell us a product or a service. And with all that the world is throwing at us, that it's bombarding us with, where does God's word fit into that? What role does scripture, does God's wisdom play in our lives? We live in a noisy world. Also notice that we tend to follow the path of least resistance. Look at verse 22. It says, "How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing?" The simple continue to live in a simple way. The scoffer continues to scoff. Instead of making a change or doing something different, we just follow the same course. Or we make a change and then quickly revert back to how we used to do things. Why is that? Because change is difficult. Change is hard. We see this in the book of Judges. God's people would turn away and serve idols and false gods. Then their enemies would come and oppress them. They would suffer under the rule of their adversaries for a period of time, and then God would send, they would cry out to God, and he would send a deliverer, a judge, that would come and rescue them. They would turn back to the Lord. There would be a period of peace, but after a while, they would turn back to the idols. And it was this cycle again and again, where they kept falling back in to their old ways. Also notice what he says in verse 24. Because I have called and you refused to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded. We often ignore wisdom's cry. In verse 24, he uses words like refuse and ignore. We're not listening. We're not paying attention. When I think about wisdom's cry, I can't help but hearing my mom's voice. She always seemed to say things, and it was like she knew what was about to happen. You know, don't jump on the bed. And minutes later, there's a loud thud, and someone's coming out of the room crying. Don't eat too much candy. It will make you sick. We went to an Easter egg hunt one year, and one of the kids, after they had gathered up their mass, their stash of candy, they went over to the corner and sat down, and they ate every piece of candy in the basket. You can guess how that one worked out. It's one thing to have a stomach ache for a few days, but what happens when we spend our whole lives rejecting or turning away from God's wisdom? In verse 27, it says that terror strikes them like a storm. Calamity comes down like a whirlwind. There are serious consequences for walking according to our own ways. And also notice that whoever listens will dwell securely. This is how this section ends in verse 33. He says, whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. So there's really two options. There's two choices. We can either follow our own ways and turn away from wisdom, or we can heed, we can listen to what God has said. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus tells a parable about the foolish and the wise maidens or virgins. And he says that those who were foolish came to the wedding. They didn't have enough oil. They had to leave and go get some more so their lamps wouldn't run out. But the wise, they came prepared. They planned ahead. They listened to wise counsel. They were ready. They were prepared. If you were to go hiking in the Smoky Mountains and you got up to one of those beautiful outlooks and you wanted to get a picture, or you wanted to see the 365 panoramic view, where would you want your feet to be standing? Would you choose a place that was kind of unstable, where the dirt was starting to slide off of the ledge, where the rocks were falling over, they were beginning to crumble? Or would you want a place that was solid, that was stable, that was unmovable, where your feet aren't going to be getting off balance? Those who listen to the wisdom found in God's word, he says here, will dwell, they will live in security. So in considering these points, we need to be intentional. To be intentional about blocking out all of the noise, all of the chatter that the world is throwing at us. It's hard to hear what God is saying when 99% of what is coming in, what we're consuming, is the things that the world has to offer through videos, music, pictures, content, all the things that we are listening to and watching. I think about the old statement that less is more. Sometimes we have to just unplug, say no, turn it off, make room for God's word to be able to come into our hearts, to read it, to study it, to think about it, and meditate on God's wisdom. We also need to be courageous. Making change is not easy. Habits are developed slowly over time. It takes courage to identify something that needs to be changed or corrected, and then move from where we are today to where we need to be in the future. I'm helping coach my kids' basketball teams. And when kids are learning new skills, they're trying to throw a pass, trying to catch a pass. That's not something where you just say, go throw the ball to each other. The method has to be explained by the coach. It has to be demonstrated. And then the kids have to go and practice. And they practice again and again. And the times that they first try it, they're going to fail. And it takes courage to get back up, to continue on, to keep pressing forward. And eventually what happens is a skill that seemed like it was once impossible becomes something that is obtainable, almost routine. And that requires persistence and courage. We also need to be receptive. That means being willing to consider or accept suggestions or new ideas. God's word, what's presented in God's word is often different than how I might do it. My natural response, my natural inclination to something. But instead of just saying, well, I already know how to do that, or I'm stubborn and I'm just not even going to try that, we need to be open and willing to listen. And when we are intentional and courageous and receptive to the things that God puts before us, Scripture says that we will be blessed. We will find joy in this life. Instead of being overwhelmed with stress, worry, jealousy, greed, we'll find joy, gratitude, contentment, and love. God is the one who designed us, so what he's telling us is for our benefit. He's helping us to walk in a path that will offer us an abundant life. Well, I'd like to spend the rest of our time this morning looking at a couple of the Proverbs so we can get a taste for some of these amazing truths. There's a wide array of topics that are covered in the book of Proverbs, but one of those is in regards to wealth. Look at Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 11. It says, "Dishonest money dwindles away, but whoever gathers money little by little makes it grow." One of the methods of Hebrew poetry that the writers would use is called parallelism. And it's where the first part of a statement and the second part are related to one another. They are parallel. But sometimes, instead of the thoughts being the same, they are the opposite. They are contrasted. And this is called antithetical parallelism. And that's what we have here. The first part is a negative. Dishonest money dwindles. But money gathered, the second part is the positive. Money gathered little by little will grow. It's teaching a lesson by comparing these two thoughts. If you're going to pick a side, you want to be on the second half of that statement. But how does dishonest money dwindle away? What does that mean? What's he talking about there? Let's look at another translation, the New King James. "Wealth gained by dishonesty will be diminished, but he who gathers by labor will increase." Money that is acquired by deceit, by fraud, or by lying, someone who steals to get what they have, that money is ultimately going to be diminished. Look at another translation. This is the Good News. It says, "The more easily you get your wealth, the sooner you will lose it. The harder it is to earn, the more you will have." When you don't work for your money, If it comes to you by gambling or winning the lottery or through an inheritance, if it's given to you very quickly, it's often spent quickly. And one of the reasons for that is because it doesn't mean as much to you. You didn't have to give up anything. You didn't sacrifice anything to get it. When I was in college, there was this older gentleman at our church who needed some help at his yard. And he had a big, big property. So I would go over there in the afternoons, and the types of jobs that he would have me do wasn't like painting in an air-conditioned garage. It was outside, under the sun, in the summer, in Texas. So I start sweating when I'm telling the story. But he would have me, he'd say, okay, I'd see this riding mower. And I'd say, well, do you need me to get on that thing and ride around? He's like, no, no. I need these roots over by this tree dug up with a shovel, a dull shovel. And so I'd be over there working, and after I'd finish the job or get to a stopping point, I'd come back in the house, and he would pay me. He'd say, how long did you work? And I'd be thinking, it felt like a long time. I don't know exactly how many minutes, but can we just leave it at that? A very long time. And after one of my visits there, he handed me a $20 bill. And I walked out of there thinking, you know, I've had birthdays where I get a $20 bill. It is a lot harder to get $20 in his backyard. And you start to appreciate, you start to understand the value of something when you had to work for it. Proverbs helps shed light on our attitudes, our perspective towards work, towards money. What about this one? Proverbs 22 and verse 1. Another proverb about wealth. It says, a good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. Are they teaching that in college? Is that a lesson that is that a truth that we aspire to, that we hold to, that our character, our reputation, how we interact and treat other people is more desirable than great wealth? One more translation, Proverbs 22 and verse 1. It says, if you have to choose between a good reputation and great wealth, choose a good reputation. Be a person of integrity and character rather than just trying to amass wealth. The Proverbs also speak about work. In Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 11, those who work their land will have abundant food, but those who chase fantasies have no sense. The farmer who works their land, the one who's dedicated and focused, he has an abundance. But I love the way the NIV words this. Those who chase fantasies. The ESV says, those who follow a worthless pursuit. Chasing a fantasy. When I was in school, there was a paper that was due. This was in high school. And I waited till the last minute to start on it. And it was now the day before it was due, and I hadn't even written anything. So I sat down at the desk and I started thinking about all of the ways that I could possibly get out of writing the paper. And so I checked the weather. I'm like, is there a snowstorm coming tomorrow? Could there be a flood that could ruin the school? And then I thought, you know what? My stomach is not feeling great, and maybe I'm going to be sick tomorrow, so I could just call out. And then I was like, well, maybe that I could talk to my mom, and we could write a note to the teacher and just explain my situation, how busy I am, how this it wasn't going to work for me with this deadline. And after about 30 minutes, my mom came upstairs, and she looked at me, and she said, what are you doing? You've been sitting there for a half hour. You haven't written one word. During that time, you could have gotten your outline started. You could have written your introduction. But you see, sometimes we're chasing a fantasy. We're daydreaming about all of the money that we could make and the ways that we would ultimately spend that money instead of being industrious, going out and working and making improvements. There's a lot of ads out there on the internet about opportunities to make money with very little effort. But Proverbs says when we try to do that without work, we are lacking sense. In Proverbs 21, in verse 5, it says, "The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty." One of the key attributes in regards to work is this idea of diligence, that constant effort to accomplish something. It involves persistence. We have to stick with a task and complete it to the very end. That takes effort and focus. But ultimately, this is the type of person that you want. Working at your business, playing on your team, as a part of your household. Someone who displays diligence. And finally, Proverbs provides great wisdom. You think it's going to be a W? In regards to our words, the things that we say. In Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 18, it says, "The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." There's an old English proverb that says, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me." Now, that may be true physically, that words don't actually cause physical harm. But the things that we say can and do cause tremendous damage and pain. The writer here says these are reckless, they're rash, they're thoughtless, coming out of our mouth without much concern or consideration. What we say to others can be extremely hurtful. But on the other side of that, he says that the tongue of the wise brings healing. I appreciated what Kyle had us do a few weeks ago during our Wednesday night invitation. If you weren't here, he asked us to think about a person who has had an influence on our lives, somebody who is still living, somebody outside of our immediate family. And then we wrote down some of the ways that that person has encouraged us, the ways that they have helped us. And after doing that for a few moments, he then challenged us to share that with that person. Now, how does that make you feel when you receive words of encouragement, words of praise, of building up? That can make a person's whole week. That can lift their spirits. And so as we enter into this period of Thanksgiving and of holiday and being with family, let's challenge ourselves not just to think about the food and the time away from work and all the other things that are going on with the shopping, but to use our words in a way that can build up, to express love and appreciation, whether that's in the things that we speak or writing it out in a card and giving it to someone. Proverbs offers so much wisdom. And as God speaks to us, may we always have open and receptive hearts. We're going to close this morning with a song of invitation, an opportunity to respond to the gospel. If you're not a Christian this morning, you can become one by submitting your life to Christ, by listening to the wisdom that is found in God's word. If there's something we can do to encourage or help you this morning, please come down to the front as we stand and sing.